Dear Lord, I thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord, for all the people you've brought here, both in person and on Zoom. And I just pray you'll be with the service today, Lord, be with Pastor as he comes to speak, that you'll just give him the words that you want us to hear, Lord, the words that we need to hear, and just give us the hearts to receive that. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, guys. You may be seated.
All right. And he left the mic on for her that time. So for 3 weeks in a row, he would cut off the mic, and then she would say, be seated, and no one heard her. So, Tony, thank you so much. So, well, it's good to see everybody here this morning. For folks on Zoom, thank you for participating in the services. We're doing our best to be able to give everybody an avenue to be part of what we're doing here. Be our guest here today. Thank you for being here. We're privileged to have you. And I want to thank also the folks that have been faithful in your giving. September was a tough month for us. I don't know why, but all of a sudden, but it really put a strain on our finances. October, it got better, and we seem to be doing well now. But I want to thank you so much for being faithful and for our good team here, too. I want to say, you know, there's a lot that goes on during the week here, a lot getting ready for the prep. The folks that come. Did he just turn me off? Clean and sanitize the, sanitize the building. We appreciate it so much to make sure we're all healthy. You know, I'm going to talk about something today. I don't really want to call this a sermon because I'm going to read a whole chapter in the Bible. I've spoke on this subject before. In a few minutes, I'm going to read this whole chapter out of the what's called the Message, which is not really a translation of the Bible. It is basically a kind of a narrative of that chapter. And I think it reads very well, very to the point in modern English and stuff. Normally, I preach out of the NIV, the King James, in that there. But I wanted to share something because when I read this, it really hit home for what we're going through as a nation. You know, we just got done with the presidential election, and some would say we're not done yet, but I want to tell you, my concern has been through this, and I purposely, during social media, refrained from talking about anything dealt with national politics for this reason. I've had a great fear, and I've shared this in our midweek motivation, and I encourage you to be part of our midweek motivation. My concern is that the tension and division of the country will begin to sneak into the church and the body of faith that we have here together. And I truly am concerned about that because I know in our own church we have people with diverse ideas and feelings and the way that they address things and even the way they vote. Church should never be involved in politics. Everybody is an American here. You vote the way you see you want to vote. And I think we need to respect each and every person in what they do. But I've noticed across the country dealing with other churches that some pastors and some have been very vocal one way or the other. And then you hear about the stories of churches going through division and splits and stuff. And I want to encourage us as the body of Christ and as people of faith that we do not get into that type of situation. Our faith is something that should bring us together. We talked about it a week or two ago about our foundations based upon the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what unifies us, but we are diverse people with diverse backgrounds. There are some of you that are true New Englanders. You can usually tell a true New Englander is that they will never smile at you or shake your hand. No, I'm just kidding. They won't wave on the street. I'm from the Midwest. I wave to everybody, and they're all looking at me like I'm crazy or something. And we have diverse backgrounds. We have economic diversity. We have people of color in our church and our family of faith. And I want to encourage us to keep united even during times of differences. That's why I call this talk today, Disputes, Disagreements, and Disharmony. What's gone on in this country is nothing new. What's gone on in Christianity is nothing new. There have been disputes and disagreements for centuries. In my lifetime, there has been all kinds of disagreements and even sometimes shunning of those of other faiths or of other denominations. I'll kind of get that in a second here. In our country, there's always been division politically. Back in 1960, when John F. Kennedy was running for president as a Catholic, there was a movement by the Protestant community to basically try to sequester the vote and keep him out of office. And those that were Baptist and those that were Protestant were very anti-Catholic and became a big division in the country. And John F. Kennedy did a great thing. He spoke to a national conference of Southern Baptist preachers down south. And I've watched that speech and I've even read the speech over time. It was a wonderful speech and it actually brought unity back in. But when I was being raised, there was division with denominations. I got to tell you, when I was raised, things were a lot different. I always joked that when I was born, and Greg, when you and I were born, there were only 48 states in the country. We didn't have 50 states yet, because they didn't come into 1959 and 1950 or 1960, and we were born before that. And the thing about it is, there was division in this country. And I remember being raised as a, what do you call, a fundamental independent Baptist guy with a father who was an independent fundamental Baptist preacher. I was raised to where anybody who wasn't Baptist isn't really a true Christian. We were called the Bride of Christ, and everybody else were going to be attendees. That's all they were going to be when they got to heaven. And we were taught that Catholics were evil. Seriously, we were taught that, you know, they had a cultist type of belief. They didn't really believe in Jesus Christ. We were taught that Methodists were rebellious. We taught that Lutherans were snobs. We taught, and I was raised in that area there. And I began to go in, even when I began to be in ministry back almost 40 years ago in pastoring, that was still my culture I was in. I had what's called a cultural theology, which wasn't a biblical theology. And then when I started pastoring, I began to go to conferences with other denominations, and I found something strange, that Methodists all love Jesus too. And that Pentecostals, they love Jesus too. In fact, they love people. I remember talking to Catholic people, thinking that, well, you don't really believe in Jesus Christ, and hearing testimonies of Catholic people, men and women. We have some dear friends that truly believe in Jesus Christ. And I begin to understand that there isn't a lot of differences. There are some points of differences that deal with polity and a few areas of scriptures and stuff. But then I begin to read the Bible where God says it's okay to have disputable matters and still be part of the body of Christ. And I begin to respect, I begin to admire, and I begin to put down the walls that divide us and realize, like when we started this church 19 years ago, non-denominational church, was mainly because of the fact that we truly believe that the body of Christ incorporates all denominations that follow Jesus Christ. We are not enemies, we are not opposed. We can differ on some things and still be united. And you know something? It was liberating to not feel boxed in as if, as a Baptist pastor back then, I had to basically seclude myself away from the rest of the ministries in our community. And I tell you, it was very heartwarming to find that there are brothers and sisters in all places and stuff that love the Lord. I remember there was disputes in churches, even Baptist churches, about music. I remember drums were evil. I remember guitars were evil. My father would not let me take. I finally took up the guitar at 60 years old 2 years ago. Because when I was a kid, my father said, you can't play the guitar. You know why? Because the Beatles. Seriously. Because of Paul McCartney and because of all them there, John Lennon. My dad was concerned I was going to grow long hair. I remember this when it came out in the early 70s with those pointed shoes that the all rockers wore. My parents would not let me buy those kind of shoes. I remember all these things. I remember music being division. I remember translations of the Bible was division. You used to drive down the street, and you could see a sign that says, we are a Bible-believing, King James-only Bible. We are a premillennial, pre-fundamentalist, or whatever. All these different tags on there. And I used to say to myself, why are they advertising what divides? Why don't we just put on there, we are the church that serves the resurrected Jesus Christ, and everybody's welcome. See, so I was raised in that. I remember when, you know, hair was an issue. Now, hair is not an issue for me any longer, as you can probably tell. But I can remember that when we used to youth camps and some teenager would accept Christ, and right after the service, they would encourage them, you must get your hair cut now to look like a Christian. And I thought to myself, okay, that's the way we're doing things. And then I began to see speakers and Christians that had long hair, and guess what? They love God too. Seriously, I love the fact that Matt has a ponytail when he plays his bass guitar. But we were that way, and there was divisions because of all of that. So there's been divisions in this country politically. There's been divisions in churches because of disagreements and stuff. And there was disagreements 2,000 years ago. Now let's go about what happened 2,000 years ago. 2,000 years ago was a tough time. I mentioned a couple weeks ago that they didn't have a Bible to go to a verse and say, this is how you should do it or whatever. It was all new. There was no scriptures to refer to. It was all on the fly. God was directing the church, early church, as it was going on, and they were making mistakes and they were having disputes. And one of the disputes was, and this was tough because, you know, if you've ever came out of a strict denomination into more of a liberating denomination like we are, where, you know, we wear civvy clothes. I'm not wearing a suit. I hate ties. I always hated ties. But we, you know, that conservative group, when it calls, we call fundamentalists, it's always a hard transition. I remember we started the church, and at first I wore a suit every Sunday, and then we did the thing, and the fifth Sunday in the month, you dress casual. And I remember my wife saying, I don't know about that. And then we got to the point where we decided to dress casual all the time, and there's still things she won't let me wear to church. I have to wear a collar for some reason, I don't know why. But I to make peace in the family, I compromise a little bit. And so here we are today. People come as they are. And Tom comes today in short pants because it's going to be 75 degrees today. He's got the legs for it too, though, so that's cool. And so you deal with all these things, but 2,000 years ago, the issue was going from Judaism. Judaism was the Jewish belief system, and the Old Testament gave a lot of restrictions. For instance, you could not work on the Sabbath day. You couldn't even take a walk on the Sabbath day. You couldn't eat meat that was defiled. You couldn't eat pork. You couldn't do certain things. You had to honor one day over another day. And so when they begin to follow Jesus Christ, who basically became the fulfillment of the law, and the teaching began to be through the Spirit of God to the Apostle Paul and others that no day is more important than the other day. When I was a kid, I remember my parents said that Christians shouldn't work on Sundays. And of course, my confusion was, I said, Dad, you work every Sunday. I don't know how you get away with this thing. You know, he's a pastor. And so, and then I remember, you know, things that we could or could not do. But in 2,000 years ago, there were folks that were transitioning into Christianity, disciples of Christ, and Christ was teaching them that there's no food restrictions anymore. You can eat whatever you want to eat. There's no day above any other day. The Sabbath day is no longer. It's resurrection day is the first day of the week to consider Sunday. Then some were trying to make Sunday to be like the Sabbath where you couldn't work or do anything. And the teaching coming from God to the writers of the New Testament to say, relax. You have the full liberty to live your life. You're no longer under restrictions of what you can eat or what you can't eat. You don't have to honor one day as another day. The law of the Old Testament has been concluded. You are now free as believers in Christ to live in liberty. But you had people that were like, I can't do that. You had people like, I was raised in church wearing a suit and tie. I can't go to church without a suit and tie, you know. You had people back then that said, I want to follow Jesus Christ, but I still want to hang on to my heritage and my traditions of supporting the Sabbath and eating only vegetarian food and stuff. And then that was okay because everybody does their own thing. But then it got a dispute. Some Christians who have full liberty to do whatever they want, you know, they eat whatever they want, you know, worship every day of the week or not worship every day of the week, they begin to call the Judaizers basically weaker people. And those that were of the Judaism camp who had all these restrictions said that you guys are weak and you're flaunting your grace. And it began to be a very tenseful situation because Christianity was transitioning. They were coming out of Judaism to Christianity. It became very, very tense. And the writers in the scripture kept trying to tell them that you need to show, and there's a key word in all this, grace. And they were trying to say, you need to let everybody worship God their own way and live it their own way and stay out of their business and show some grace. Now, I heard somebody say one time that we ought to be showing grace the same way a four-year-old spreads peanut butter. Messy and all over the place, okay? It ought to be out there. And so that's what I want to talk about today. We will have disputes and disagreements as Christians, both inside the church walls and outside the church walls. We will have disputes, and we will have different political leanings. We will have different philosophies on life. We will have different ideas about the world events and world culture. We will get into church, and we will have people that will have different ideas about what the scripture means to them and what it doesn't mean to them. We will have people that will sometime will come in and say, and unless all Christians, you know, believe exactly the same, I can't be a part of it. Or the rest of us says, once again, our foundation is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's the main thing we agree on. Everything else for is out there for discussion. We should never let our disputes, our disagreements create disharmony. Because we are the body of Christ, and we are diverse. And we should celebrate that instead of slamming other people with it. So I'm going to read a passage of scripture, and like I said a few minutes ago, I decided to use the message, which, like I said, is more of a paraphrasing of the chapter. But when I read it this week, and I read this passage in all the different translations I have on my iPad, when I read it here, I said, this speaks exactly what I'm saying. It's in language and understanding that we can understand. This is what the Apostle Paul is saying to those folks that were disputing over what to eat, what day to serve, how to live their life. He was trying to tell them basically, and I'm going to give you the nutshell here, live your life, serve God, but stay out of everybody else's business. and unite together in your diversity. So we're going to read. It's going to be on the screen here, and I may make some comments going through, but I just may just read right through it. It says in Romans chapter 14, 1 through 23, it says this: welcome with an open arms fellow believers who don't see things the way you do. And don't jump all over them every time they do or say something you don't agree with, even when it seems that they are strong on opinions but weak in the faith department. Remember, they have their own history to deal with. Treat them gently. For instance, a person who has been around for a while might be well convinced that he can eat anything on the table, while another with a different background may assume he should only be a vegetarian and eat accordingly. But since both are guests at Christ's table, I love this, wouldn't it be terribly rude if they fell into criticizing what the others ate and didn't eat? God, after all, invited them both to the table. Do you have any business crossing people off the guest list or interfering with God's welcome? If there are corrections to be made or manners to be learned, God can handle that without your help. I love that. Or say, one person thinks that some days should be set aside as holy, and another thinks that each day is pretty much like any other. There are good reasons either way, so each person is free to follow the convictions of their conscience. What's important is all this, is that you keep a holy day. Keep it for God's sake. If you eat meat, eat it to the glory of God and thank God for prime rib. I never saw the Bible have prime rib, and I love good prime rib, okay? But I thought that was kind of comical that the writer in this paraphrase would write this. Thank God for the prime rib. If you're a vegetarian, eat vegetables to the glory of God and thank God for broccoli. I don't know, how many like broccoli here? All right, I do, okay. None of us are permitted to insist on our own way in these matters. It's God we are answerable to, all the way from life to death and everything in between, not each other. That's why Jesus lived and died and then lived again, so that he could be our master across the entire range of life and death and free us from the petty tyrannies of each other. So where does this leave you when you criticize a brother? And where does this leave you when you condescend a sister? I say it leaves you looking pretty silly or worse. Eventually, we're all going to end up kneeling side by side in the place of judgment facing God. Your critical and condescending ways aren't going to improve your position there one bit. Read it for yourself in scriptures. As I live and breathe, God says, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will tell the honest truth that I, and not only I, am God. So tend to your knitting. I know. When I read that, I was hoping you'd be here in your front row. I swear. So I didn't add that to it. This was there. Read it for yourself. Open the message. But I love what it says there. But when I read that, I thought to myself, "Wow, that's kind of cool." So, all right, I lost my place here. I had to laugh about that for a second. It says here, and forget it. I actually lost my place here. We are, okay? So ten. What's that? About deciding what's right for each other. Here's what you need to do. Be concerned about yourself, that you don't get in the way of someone else, making life more miserable, difficult than it already is. I'm convinced, Jesus convinced me, that everything as it is in itself is holy. Well, we, of course, by the way we treat and talk about it, can contaminate it. If you confuse, this is verse 15 through 16, if you confuse others by making a big issue over what they eat or don't eat, you're no longer a companion with them in love, are you? These, remember, are persons of whom Christ died. Would you risk sending them to hell over the item in their diet? Wow, that's powerful. I mean, seriously, would we discourage somebody from living in their faith and coming to church because we have a disagreement? Don't you dare let a piece of God's blessed food become an occasion for soul poisoning. God's kingdom isn't a matter of what you put into your stomach, for goodness sake. It's what God does with your life as he sets it right, puts it together, and completes it with joy. Your task is to single-mindedly serve Christ. Do that, and you'll kill two birds with one stone, pleasing the God above you and proving your worth to the people around you. So let's agree to use our energy in getting along with others. Help others with encouraging words. Don't drag them down by finding fault. You're certainly not going to permit an argument over what is served or not served at supper to wreck God's work among you, are you? I said before, and I'll say it again, all food is good, but it can turn bad if it's used badly. If you use it to trip others up and send them sprawling. When you sit down to a meal, your primary concern should be to feed your face, but to share the life of Jesus. So be sensitive and courteous to others who are eating. Don't eat and say and do things that might interfere with the free exchange of love. Cultivate your relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. You're fortunate if your behavior and your beliefs are coherent. But if you're not sure, and if you notice that you are acting in ways inconsistent with what you believe, some days trying to impose on your opinions on others. Other days just trying to please them. Then you know that you're out of line. And the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. I enjoy just reading that there because it really reads so well. And, it just makes total sense. And I think what Paul was trying to emphasize, and 2,000 years later, I think the message is simply this. We're going to have disagreements inside the church and outside the church. We're going to think differently, especially culturally, because many people come from different backgrounds. We're going to differ on the way we think that the church services should go. I know that how we do things today is different than I grew up doing. I know that we're going to have disagreements when it comes to the things of the world, and right now is our nation is divided, and people in our church, as I watch social media, have their different opinions about where the direction should go and what's going on here and who they support or don't support. And I think it's healthy to have good debate and dialogue. In fact, I've grown up with my father, always being involved in discussions about current affairs and culture and politics and stuff. And I've always been the nature that I can love somebody and disagree with them without any hindrance there. But what I want to encourage is, as the church, as the floodgates have opened, even in Christian faith, for divisions based upon the political world, I want to remind us something. We are heirs of Jesus Christ. We, in the body of faith, the body of Christ, we have a new nation that we're headed to. The songs used to say, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through." To me, there's some great songs used to speak about that, to keep our mind heavenly focused, not so earthly intent. And we can have our disagreements, and I want to encourage that. I think diversity and disagreements, and I think what you think and what you believe and where you stand on all the issues in America, stand strong for them. But never let it get to the point where the world's debates become the debacle of the church. Don't let it infiltrate here what's going on out there. In fact, I would encourage the Christian faith and the people of Cornerstone is to speak words of grace. Because in a world that's going crazy right now, and hatred is all around, and disagreement, if Jesus was on this planet right now, he'd be a unifier drawing people to him. And since we're his ambassadors in this world, our role in all the mess in society, when everybody has doubts and fears and everybody has divisions, we need to point people to Jesus Christ and his healing power and his unifying message. Love your brother as yourself. Love your brother as yourself. And that word in the Greek for brother actually is the word stranger. We always talk about brotherly love. It actually means love the stranger, the people you don't know, as yourself. And don't allow what's outside to infiltrate the good work of faith that we do. Nations will come and nations will go. I'm a student of history. I've studied the Roman Empire. and the Republic before then. I've studied what the Persian Empire, the Babylonian Empire. I'm reading a book on Caesar right now. When I finally get back to it, my schedule allows me. I've watched nations become powerful. I watched the Soviet Union go from Russia to the Soviet Union back to Russia. We've seen all of this. Nations come and nations go. We are a young nation. But I tell you one thing that will hold a nation together is if my people who are called upon by my name will humble themselves and pray, then they will hear from me and I will heal their land. The solution for division in this country is the power of prayer and unity for those who believe in Christ. So when you get out there on social media and stuff and you want to debate all you want, but make sure that as somebody who follows Christ, you're representing him the right way. Because the world's looking for answers in a world that has too many questions. And the only answer that is perfect is to tell somebody, don't be fearful of what's going to happen in the future. God's still in control. Don't be worried about who won or lost. God's in control. Don't worry about all the divisiveness out there. God's in control. And let's be an example of unity in this country and in this church. Like I said when I started this, you know, I've been involved, people know I've been involved in politics. You know, I've served on chairman of the Board of Education, town council, and even the state legislature. And I've always tried to do it where I was always a person that showed grace in that. A couple years when I retired from some of that, and I began to see this nation and this community start going into such dialogue of division, I pulled back. And I remember telling my family, probably in February, I'm not going to post anything about anything because I, as a leader in the Christian faith, do not want to be guilty of allowing the divisiveness out there to creep into the churches that we pastor. We are Switzerland. Everybody's welcome here. We don't ask you your background, who you voted for. We don't even ask you of all the little things that you believe when it comes to the Bible. Our thing is, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you believe he died on the cross and he rose again to give you salvation? You're my brother. You're my sister. And maybe it's because I'm getting older. Everything else doesn't matter. So let's not fight. Let's fortify our faith and bring people in to a place where all are accepted, no matter what. Let me give you the walk away here. The walk away is simply this. Living in harmony with others means when we disagree, we do it respectfully. Our opinions should not be obstacles for the Christian unity. Our opinions should not be what divides. I celebrate if I differ with you and you differ with me. I think it's great. In fact, I love it when people challenge my mind. I've read more books at times by those that I know I'm going into the book disagreeing with them and became outside of that enlightened. I never wanted to be programmed. I want to be open-minded to learn. And that means listening and learning. Let me just close with this. I've been pastoring, going on 39 years. Actually, this Sunday is 39 years. I just thought about it I just thought about that for a second there. Ordained 39 years ago this weekend. And here's the thing. Back then, we used to have cassette tapes of the sermons. You remember cassette tapes in the number two pencil you use for the, I can remember reel-to-reel tapes, okay? But here's the funny thing. I have a bag of cassette tapes in my basement. I mean, it's a garbage bag full. I don't have a player, so I can't listen to them. But a while back, I went through and looked at some of the titles. There are things in there I would never speak on again. There are messages I gave. that were so programmed and so culturally theological, which means it basically was the time. But as I investigated scriptures, I grew up a little bit, I began to open my heart and mind, I realized there are things I would never want somebody to hear me speak about from 39 years ago. I'm so glad that we're able to grow in our knowledge and understanding. And we do that, you're going to find this. The older we get and the more grace we have, the more we begin to see everybody through the eyes and the lens of Jesus Christ. We are family. Families have squabbles, but families stay together. Let's make sure we're living in harmony with one another. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? When I put this together this week, I really didn't get to preparing a sermon, and it was kind of like I wasn't going to really prepare a big sermon with a bunch of points and stuff. When I read this, I just really wanted to talk about it. And this comes from my heart. As a Christian leader and as a pastor of the church and stuff, it comes to my heart where I just want to say, I want to make sure Cornerstone is a welcoming place for everybody and anybody. And I want to make sure that we keep the divisions of this world outside and we celebrate our diversity and our members' diversity on all their ideas and opinions. But let us stay united. Let us stay united. Because I think there's people outside the church doors that are looking for somewhere that they can go and be accepted even when there's difference of opinions. I think it's needed. I think the church is more needed now than ever before. So I want to encourage you, be the Christian, the Jesus follower that was intended to be. Open your arms to all and welcome them. Father, we just thank you so much for this time together. I pray, Lord, that you would use this talk today to really motivate us to represent you in the way that you would want us to. May we share grace. May we spread grace the way you intend us to do. And may we celebrate diversity, but at the same time, celebrate it and bring it to harmony. We ask in Christ's name, amen.